This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There he is, our closer, Jens Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Lots to get to in this hour. And also coming up later on in the program, Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds, they're going to join the show as well. So, Jensen, we got some hockey. We're on the eve of the NFL draft, but we're going to kick it off with what happened in the association for our highlights headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Two big dogs went on the road, got outright wins. One home dog got an outright win. That would be the Lakers. It was a good day to be a dog in the NBA, Jensen. So the Lakers now commanding 2-0 lead, but still they've held serve so far without Luka Doncic. No Kevin Durant, still here for H-Town. I think the real surprise is here. Philadelphia, Portland on the road, double-digit dogs. And, of course, the Wemby news in San Antonio, Jensen. I think that's where we got to begin these conversations.
Absolutely. And that is the one part. If you did not hear earlier when Jonathan Von Tobel joined us, please, wherever you get your podcast, search for VSiN by the Books. Give us a like and follow. This is going to be a huge, huge loss, as we know, but not uncharted territory here for the San Antonio Spurs. They had to do it in the regular season, albeit the stakes much higher now. But the Trailblazers, it was a team that I thought very live to potentially get that win last night. They do get it across the line as a three-point winner. Now we see the adjustments. What will the Spurs do offensively? Now the rim protection is gone, or at least getting it away as much as you want. So we'll see what they do on the road in a hostile environment.
And by the way, Friday night for that game three in Portland, Spurs small favorites, a 1.5 favorite is what we're seeing right now. That total suppressed a little bit, 219.5 with, we believe, no Wemby for Friday night. That's for sure. We mentioned the Lakers getting that big win last night, but the Sixers, the shocker of all shockers, going to Boston. Jensen, that series can't really be live. Is that more of a one-game aberration for you? Or do you think there's actually some trouble maybe? We know there's trouble for Houston, but what about for the Celtics?
I'm excited, okay, because you and I obviously will be rooting for my Cleveland Cavaliers, you with that 20-1 future for them to win the Eastern Conference, me just in my heart of hearts, because of how the road could set up. Ideally, what did we want? We wanted the Knicks series to go as long as possible. We wanted the Celtics series. If somehow Philly could win a game or two, that would be great, bonus points. Well, Boston, are they leaking a little oil? I don't know. I don't want to jump the horse just yet, but right. I think that you have to appreciate the competitive and pride of where the Sixers were. They got him absolutely embarrassed in game one. So it's great. Finally, one of those rare times we see in the NBA where there's actually some pride and professionalism, and it showed up in a big way for Philly last night. So I don't want to get too far ahead. I like the result, and now I think we look at both the Knicks and the Hawks. Knicks having to go into hostile environments, same with Boston. You're up against it. I'm sure both those teams in Philly and Atlanta feel a little house money there, so I think this is going to be a very intriguing setup, especially from the betting angles heading into Game 3.
I mean, Stanley Cup playoffs, it just gets more and more intense. We had a couple overtime games again last night. Get used to that because it feels like we're getting one of those, at least one of those every night, two of those last night. The Avs do get it done 2-1 to take a 2-0 lead against the LA Kings. The Mammoth, they get it done in regulation 3-2 out there in Las Vegas last night. That's the Western Conference. On the East, how about Boston? You get your heart ripped out in game one. That's okay. We'll put up four goals here to begin game two. Hold on for the 4-2 win against Buffalo. Even that series at a game apiece. And then Tampa Bay, they were down again to Montreal 2-1. They get the equalizer, then win in overtime as well, 3-2. Let's start in the East. Buffalo now 1-1, Tampa Bay and Montreal now 1-1. Boy, the numbers are adjusting a little bit, but not that much here, Jensen. It feels like we could be in for a long series here in the first rounds.
Yep, and the game three is reflecting in the marketplace right now. So you're basically $1.10 each way for Sabres Bruins. And we alluded to it yesterday. Did Buffalo escape? Yeah, they certainly did. But you did not want to have a head of steam for the Bruins going back north and knowing that you're going to have to go into a barn that's very difficult to win during the playoffs. Same, I think, can be said when the Lightning head to Quebec. This is a Canadian team that we felt would be live for that first round upset, and the market reflecting it. Lightning just a very, very short $1.22 money line favorite headed into game three. That total again suppressed down to 5.5. We got home on the under 6 by virtue of that being 2-2 going to OT. So I'm very excited. It was the series you and I circled in the East. We were very excited to see how would a young, fast Canadian team go up against a veteran group in the Lightning. Well, for all intents and purposes, this should be 2-0 Montreal, but I think mission accomplished. Yep. They feel they still have the momentum, even though the Lightning get the equalizer. And I think take a collective sigh of relief that, all right, we're in the fight. Now we got to batten down the hatches here, become one, and really go out and play our game.
The longest long shot to win their respective conference is the LA Kings at 90-1 after falling behind 0-2 to Colorado. But I think you could take solace a little bit in the way those first two games were played in Colorado. You hold the Avs to 2 goals in each game, and yet you don't have a victory there. Good news for Colorado, still the betting favorite here, plus $1.35. VGK losing last night 3-2 to Utah. Utah's 13-1 here. And the VGK, their plus 450 is the second betting choice out West. You still look at Colorado and go, yeah, they are the decided favorite here. Do you go, maybe the Mammoth 13-1, you know, maybe we'll find out about Edmonton up 1-0 right now against Anaheim. How do you review, I guess, where you stand with the top two betting choices out West?
Yeah. So again, I knew my future on the Kings at 35-33-1 when this matchup became in stone. I was like, okay, well, whatever. That is what it is. As I look at some of the early data, I think you back the Kings for game three. I mean, that's the easy answer just because, you know, you don't want to ever go down 0-3. But if I'm looking more at where Colorado is overall, are we frightened that they've won two games? They have come nowhere near their offensive prowess. And
right.
They could be that wave that's just gathering strength, man. That's ironically, we talk about Avalanche coming down the mountain. You're not going to survive it once it reaches maximum velocity. It feels like this is a building. And that's, I think, the scary part for the rest of the Western Conference.
Yeah, maybe gives them confidence going, we can play other ways and win. We don't have to score 4 or 5 goals to get that done here. So 2-1 victory yesterday. Look, the NFL draft is tomorrow, and I know that if you're Mike Vrabel and everything that's happened here since the Super Bowl, you know, probably not being put in the best light. So what did Mike Vrabel do yesterday? He addressed the media, didn't talk necessarily about the draft right away. The first thing he wanted to talk about, what everybody's been talking about, what's been going on behind closed doors here, Mike Vrabel addressed the media yesterday.
You know, I've had some difficult conversations with people that I care about, with my family, the organization, the coaches, the players. Those have been positive and productive. You know, we believe in order to be successful on and off the field, you have to make good decisions. That includes me. That starts with me. We never want our actions to negatively affect the team. We never want to be the cause of a distraction. You know, and what I, you know, those are comments and questions that I've answered for the team and with the team. We'll keep those private and, you know, to ourselves.
Said a whole lot, but did he say anything at all? By the way, they're the third betting choice to get back to the Super Bowl at 8-1. Jensen, you want it to be over if you're Mike Vrabel. That's why you addressed it first in the press conference yesterday. I don't know that it's over, and I don't know if it's the job of the media to say, okay, that's enough. Now we move on and play football.
No, and it's the timing of when the first addressing of the issue was yesterday. That to me, when you have all that time in between, it really builds a crescendo of, well, philanthropy was happening, and it's not the one that's good and charitable. You're looking at their opponents, too. And, Dave, we know that this division is going to be vastly improved with what Miami has done with new leadership, what they're going to look like potentially after this week and the assets they get in the draft. You would think the Jets are going to sell out to do whatever they can to improve from year one of Aaron Glenn. I'm looking at the road games, as you and I love to do when we'll assess those win totals later next week. You still have the Super Bowl rematch. You have to go back to Seattle. You have to go to LA to play the Chargers at SoFi. You have to go to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs, in Detroit to play the Lions, at Soldier Field to play Chicago. That's just your road games. And then you're at home against Green Bay, against Minnesota. Oh, by the way, you got to go down to Jacksonville. You're going to have Pittsburgh at home. Like, Denver's at home. Their schedule is absolutely ridiculously difficult on top of whatever tentacles and other things come out of the consistent questions until this gets squashed. It's going to be a dark cloud that hangs over Foxborough into this preseason.
Yeah, before this all broke, he had some very interesting things to say about his running back, Travion Henderson, in some of his comments.
Amen.
And meanwhile, this is going on, and I'm like, wow, that maybe you should take care of your own house before you start throwing stones at others. The Mets need to clean up some things in-house. It's getting worse. They've lost 12 in a row. By the way, the Phillies are in a heck of a losing skid as well, but everybody's looking at the Mets, and rightfully so. This is the worst team in Major League Baseball. Nolan McClain was perfect through five. They had a 3-0 lead against the Twins, and they give up five unanswered. Devin Williams implodes in the ninth. Jensen, it's getting worse before it gets better in the city that never sleeps.
Yeah, it is. And I was trying to do the rough math here, Dave. If you rolled over at this point, the winnings, or at least fading, right now in those 12 losses, you would be up over $189,000 fading the New York Mets.
Arumph. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the NBA second season and less Mets talk. Oh, my goodness, my heart can't take it. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Going to be talking a lot of NFL draft here coming up later on in this very edition of VSiN by the Books. Of course, we're going to have our managing editor, Adam Burke, join us, and our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds will join us at the end of this program here today. But Jensen, we do have some NBA to get back to tonight. We got some games on the docket this evening. And when you look at Orlando and Detroit, and the series now is Orlando, all of a sudden looks like they could potentially be live after winning game one. Plus 310 on the money line here in game two in Detroit. You got to lay 8.5 here with the Pistons in game two. Now, I know the zigzag theory is a real thing. We've talked about it a lot in the network, not just on our show. But if you're Orlando, and I don't think they feel like it was fluky at all. I feel like they went in there and said, Cade Cunningham went nuts. He was amazing. And we still won relatively easily. Is this about the other Pistons not named Cade? And they could say, hey, we'll play that way. We'll give him 30, 35, book him. You want to get 40, great. But all the others, Jensen, we're going to clamp down on, and let's see if the others are good enough because we know how good Cade is.
Well, I think this is another stand-up spot here. If you like the Magic, then that's you don't even worry about the points. You think that continues where Cade doesn't get the reinforcements that he does. So forget the points, take the money line, because the momentum could be there with Orlando. Now, looking at where we are for tonight's matchup and seeing some of where people are at the moment, I know we have this zigzag theory, and again, it depends on where you subscribe of how much you get beat as a big favorite for that higher seed and being able to bounce back. Looking at some of where we are at the moment, you've got about, let's see, a 26%. Oh, man. Okay, so you've got about 66% of bets and 74% of money, I think, right now on Orlando. So there is a fair amount of market sentiment that not only is Orlando the side here, but it furthers your idea of, oh boy, this better be a time where Cade gets some reinforcements alongside. This number opened at 9.5, Dave. It is down to 8.5. If you do still like a 9, Bet Rivers has a 9 out there. Fanatics has a 9. I know Circa's at 8.5. So depending on the side that you're on, interested to see it. I'm going to ask you, I feel like the scoring ends up being a bit more elevated, similar to where you and I were looking at Philly and also at Boston.
Yeah.
Do you subscribe to that too? A little more run and gun, like the Magic kind of want to force the Pistons to play catch up here.
I would think so. That it does feel a little high to me though at 219, just because again, if the others are not involved with Cade, that's the thing that worries me here from the Detroit side. And are they going to get tight? Because if they don't get that lead early, if Orlando can kind of take that momentum like they did in game one, and remember, Orlando never trailed in game one. And I believe that's the first time ever that in a 1-8 matchup in game one, obviously on the road, if you're the 8 seed, that you go on the road and you never trail in game one and get the win. Detroit had tied it up, I believe, at one point. But still, that's rather amazing to think they went in there and took control early. So if I'm Detroit, yeah, that would get me more towards, all right, let's get those points going early. Let's take control of this thing so we're not in that predicament we were in game one. Easier said than done. And I just wonder if this thing gets tight like it did in game two for the Knicks and the Hawks, which looked like a dead over all night until it wasn't, where the Knicks got tight in the last 5 minutes. I wonder if this game stays in that 6-7 range here inside that 8.5, if it gets tight possession-wise down the stretch, and maybe that under could still come into play. Very quickly, big picture in the Eastern Conference now. Detroit has not really drifted that much. Still about plus 550 is the fourth betting choice to win the Eastern Conference. Boston, even with that slip-up last night, which was shocking in the manner in which they lost to Philadelphia, still the big-time betting favorite there. It's Cleveland that has now dipped under $3 here in this market here to about plus 260 to be the second betting choice here. Jensen, it feels like the Cavaliers finally starting to get some respect now after it's starting to take shape in round one with them having a commanding 2-0 lead on Toronto.
Yeah, and again, this might be advantageous in some respects. Like, you know, if you're a Cavalier fan, that Magic Pistons series is at least going 5 games, and the opportunity where Cleveland has absolutely owned Toronto, not only this postseason, but in their series history recently, you want to leave no doubt. You sat in the hotel last night and you saw what has transpired with Philly and Boston. You saw what happened with the Knicks and the Hawks. And now you get a front row seat to watching what will happen with Detroit and with Orlando. So by and large, they are knowing that if they can get business taken care of, not that you're going to have the rest versus rust, because I don't think we're there this early in the postseason. But this is going to be a unique scenario where you want Detroit to expend as much energy as possible, or the Magic. I mean, hey, that's a decent matchup for Cleveland too. I think they feel good either way. If this is a long series and Detroit still wins, no big deal. If the Magic win, even better, we get home court advantage, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, yes, they would prefer, I would think, to play Orlando, but I think your point's well taken. I don't think they feel it would be a daunting task. They'd be up for the challenge if Detroit is able to come back. But again, down 0-1 here, and it feels like the money's starting to come in on the Magic here tonight. One other game in the association, oh, by the way, OKC, and last year they win the NBA title. This year now, remember you could have got them about even money about a month ago to win the West? Ooh, not anymore. Yesterday's price is not today's price. Minus 210. And this feels like here that, Jensen, really the numbers are shifting maybe with the Wemby injury, because we don't know about his status going forward here for San Antonio. So they've drifted 4-1. Denver has drifted to 6-1 here. And that's because they're now deadlocked at one game apiece with Minnesota. So almost by default, yes, the Lakers have been shorted here to about 23-1 in the marketplace. But it feels like OKC, they can go up 3-0 tonight with a win in Phoenix. They're just coasting right along while everybody else has all these questions to answer.
Yeah. Okay. So coasting because of results, but they are absolutely at a feverish pace going offensively and defensively. I think they are in a mindset of this isn't about round one. This isn't about round two. Like, we are leaving no doubt. This is the killer instinct you're looking for from a defending champion. Mm-hmm. Now, tonight, I think you get Phoenix's best effort. I think they absolutely sell out because they know that if it's curtains, if they lose tonight. So not that I'm overly bullish on taking the 17, but I do think that's the play here tonight, Dave, is that it you have to sell out. You have to do whatever you can to try and at least get this one across the line. So I think that's ultimately where I would look is understanding, hey, if I'm the Suns, this is it for me, in the similar fashion of looking at where Philly and San Antonio are. So to me, that's what matters if I'm a Phoenix backer tonight. Anything possible. I don't see them winning it, but I do think they got a better chance to keep it inside that 17.
You know, we talked a lot about the Nuggets in that if seeds had held, it would be Denver and San Antonio. But what a difference a day makes when you look at San Antonio now. And now I'm looking at Denver at 6-1. Now, look, I get it. They got to get by Minnesota, and they gave away that game two. And now you're going to go back to Minnesota here for game three and game four. But is there value in that number? Because it seems to me that if Wemby, whatever he is, and now if they get by Portland, that all of a sudden that daunting task of going through Minnesota, then going through San Antonio, then going through OKC at 5-1, I'm getting an extra buck to play with now, Jensen, at 6-1. Is there any value in that number? Because I feel like there is slightly, if you still believe that the Denver Nuggets can get by Minnesota.
Yeah, at least as it pertains to, and for what it's worth, on Friday for game three, numbers already come down. 1.5-point favorites were the Spurs, down to one in many mm-hmm. spots. William Hill's down to one. Already some money coming in here at Fanatics, also on the Blazers. So I'm with you there. I just wonder, what is the adjustment? Because this is a gut punch if you're Portland. If you're San Antonio, you know it's not only game three or game four, but what even is he allowed from a minutes restriction? Like, you're not going to run him back out there for 40 minutes. So you might get half a game of Wemby. So let's forecast that out, Dave. Game three and game four, you can go to the well with Portland and feel good about it. Because, I mean, this is as good as it's going to get situationally for the Blazers. If you're the Spurs, you've gone through before, but I'm with you from the futures market. If you think that they can weather the storm, absolutely take the extra dollar and then see if there's a monetization spot into round two.
And look, if you're believing the T-Wolves, you're going to go, well, the same logic applies, right? 35-1. If we can beat Denver, then potentially looking at Portland in the next round, then you can monetize that ticket if you did get to the Western Conference Finals, and we believe it would be OKC on the other side of that coin. Wow, those numbers are changing now in the West with that Wemby injury. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about some mock drafts out there that we see in the NFL, because we're only 24 hours away. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. We know the NHL and the NBA playoffs are here. It's a great time of the year in the sports betting calendar. So when you're betting, you need to have the right info to cash those tickets. Sign up. We got a spring special right now. You're going to get full access through August 1st for a one-time payment of just $59. What do you get for that? Well, it's going to take you all the way through the NBA and the Stanley Cup Finals. World Cup, how about the Kentucky Derby? The U.S. Open, our Open in golf in Philadelphia this year, and Wimbledon overseas, and so much more. Sign up today. Get instant access to daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, plus 24/7 video and replays in the VSiN Watch app. And at just $59, that's 50% off the regular monthly price. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Lots to get to here, Jensen, on this Wednesday, including we get a little team event down there at the Zurich Classic. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
I don't want to give away the store. We're going to do some stock up, stock down a little bit later on in this program. But the Zurich is a team event. It's kind of what they do in the LIV Golf Tour, right? So it's not everybody's betting cup of tea, Jensen. You do have to handicap it very differently. We're going to talk about this with Wes Reynolds coming up later on in our Wednesdays with Wes. But when you look at the top of the odds board here down there in Zurich, you remember Shane Lowry always loved to go out there and play this with his buddy Rory McIlroy. Rory's not there this year. So he's like, hey, who's the best guy I can get to team up with now? It's Brooksy. Brooksy's like playing on every tour. He wants to get out there every week possible. So Brooksy and Shane Lowry are the betting favorites here at 12-1. And on top of the odds board with Matty Fitzpatrick, arguably the hottest golfer in the world right now, and his brother, Alex Fitzpatrick, who plays in the DP World Tour. Alex just won over there on tour. And Jensen, if you need motivation, how about this for motivation? If Matt and Alex win this week, Alex Fitzpatrick gets his PGA Tour card. So you know Big Brother would love to pull Little Brother across the line at 12-1.
All right, so I thought of a Scrabble guy, and just to bring in NBA and the Zurich. I know Ryan Gerard, hey, hang in there. If the Raptors... Sandro Mamukelashvili would team up with Sudarshan Yalamaraju. Imagine just the tongue twister as a broadcaster you got to have for that one. So what do we have? We have, 74 two-man teams, right? This is one that I am likely staying off of, but I'll defer to you. Just the bullet points. What should people look at here since it is the team event, and how do you change it from just the individual handicap versus what both guys are going for?
I'm looking for incentive-based stuff, right? So, like, yeah, I get it with the talent that a Brooksy and a Shane are going to have. And Shane and Rory have won this before. But when they go down there to New Orleans, it is a party. It was a party for Rory and Shane. They're having a good time, and they're playing really good golf out there. But is winning really that important to these guys at this stage? I don't know that it is. I mentioned the point about Alex Fitzpatrick getting his tour card with a win. That means something. I'll tell you this, in his heart of hearts, Matt Fitzpatrick, not that he'd give up last week's win or the two wins he's had on tour in the last month, but it means probably more to him to win this event with his brother in order to assure his tour card than it would for Matt Fitzpatrick to get another victory. So there is real motivation there at 12-1. One team I am looking at just from an odds perspective, and I have no plays in yet, and we're going to pick the brain of Wes Reynolds later on. I'm looking at Aaron Rye and Sahith Theegala at 22-1. If you ever watch the old Odd Couple, this would feel like that, right? You've got one guy that thrives for bogey avoidance in Aaron Rye, and one guy in Sahith who can hit it all over the lot. He makes a ton of birdies, but he makes a ton of bogeys. They might yin and yang and kind of mash this thing together. That might actually work. So I'm going to be looking for pairings like that, Jensen, maybe a little bit down the board, and see if we can find some value there. But right now, I get it if you want to bet brothers Fitzpatrick at 12-1, because again, there is real motivation for Alex to get back in the PGA Tour and get his card, and his big brother can help him do just that. But we'll get to that with Wes Reynolds a little bit later on in this program. It is that time of the year where we do mock drafts, right? And if you're in that line of work, this is your Super Bowl, this is your Christmas, and you're 24 hours away before you unwrap those presents. It does feel like all the experts we've talked to so far this week and last week and weeks leading up to the draft, it could get chaotic past one. Fernando Mendoza, we all get it. Peter Schrager at ESPN has put out his mock draft for the top 10 at least. And he does have some chaos ensuing, and it would happen at 9 with the Cowboys trading up from 12 to get the very talented corner out of LSU, Mansoor Dilane. So, Jensen, with where you are, and you see Peter Schrager's mock draft, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, what are you rooting for with some of your tickets? Do you want chaos, or do you want kind of everybody just hold firm 1 through 10 where you are and make the picks we expect you to make?
Oh, I am wanting his top five to be the top five. And I told you yesterday in Best Bets that this was the bets that I made yesterday were for this kind of chaos to ensue. So to me, from all the steam and the news we saw yesterday, it looks like David Bailey now has become the favorite over Arvel Reese to be the number two pick. That's good news for me. At Arizona at three, if it is Jeremiah Love, I took a little half unit at plus 250 for him to be the number three pick. Would absolutely love that. We just talked with Brian Wilson of CBS Sports. He said Robert Saleh is enamored with the Fred Warner archetype. Now that's Sonny Styles at four. And oh my goodness gracious. Then my 50 to one on Arvel Reese being the number five selection. You're telling me in just 24 hours time that we may be live in that scenario, according to Peter Schrager, one of the most respected guys in the industry. Whew. Yeah. If this gets to four, Dave, if this gets to four, because I also have Arvel Reese number four overall at 12 to one. If Arizona doesn't take Reese at three, and let's assume that everything holds and David Bailey's at two, I am feeling like I'm very live for a multiple big unit payout night from where my Arvel Reese futures are there at four and five.
Well, he can't slip past five, right? Like
I don't think he can.
Look, there's just no world that we live in where that happens, right, Jensen? So I'm looking at the odds board right now at DraftKings to be drafted in the top five. And again, Mendoza's off the board because he is the presumptive number one. We all get that. Numbers are astronomical for him to go number one. David Bailey and Arvel Reese are the two top betting choices at minus 4,000. You got to weigh $4,000 to win $100 that Arvel Reese is a top five pick. So to slip to six or beyond would be staggering in the odds market. You mentioned Sonny Styles. What's interesting there is he's plus money to go in the top five. Peter Schrager has him mocked to four to Tennessee, right? Early in the program, we had Ryan Wilson on, and he talked about how enamored a guy like Robert Saleh is of Sonny Styles. I got to be honest with you, Jensen. At plus $1.15 to bet Sonny Styles to be a top five pick seems like it makes a lot of sense to me. Because if it's not Tennessee at four, and if the Cowboys don't trade up to nine to get a corner, and we talked about this with Ryan, go back and listen on your time here, wherever you get your podcast, he believes Jerry Jones gets involved to go get Sonny Styles. And in order to get Sonny Styles, he'd have to be in the top five. So at plus $1.15, Jensen, that makes a lot of sense to me at plus money. If you don't want to lay a huge number, say on Arvel Reese at minus 4,000, I think the pivot there is the Sonny Styles top five. And with all those linebackers going, that seems to make a lot of sense at plus money.
Boy, just looking at DraftKings changing odds here. So number three overall, David Bailey and Arvel Reese, the co-favorites, if you will, at plus $1.70, Jeremiah Love plus $1.90. The number four selection, Jeremiah Love is odds on at minus 105, Sonny Styles at 3-1. I'm just going to tell you that I feel even better about where my odds are. So I had 12-1 for Arvel Reese to be number four overall. He's down to plus 650. That 50-1 on Arvel Reese at number five is down to 12-1 this morning. Ooh. So take that for what it's worth. We know there's a lot of steam that can affect these very quickly. But again, this draft begins if David Bailey goes at two and Jeremiah Love goes at three. I already have a winner in pocket taking the plus 250 at number three overall, but I'm with you. I'm from what we've heard, and I'm sure what we'll hear into tomorrow evening is the trade and what truth to the smoke about you better get to three or four if you want to take some of these impact linebacking or edge rusher guys. So I cannot wait to see how it all unfolds.
It's amazing because if you go to be drafted in the top 10, the number one betting choice is Sonny Styles at minus 3,000. How those odds markets change. Plus money for top five, but the overwhelming betting favorite minus 3,000 that he goes at least in the top 10. So much smoke. There will be some fire, that's for sure. Let's talk some baseball. There might be some fire rings in Citi Field if they don't get any wins anytime soon. We'll discuss a whole lot of baseball talk next right here. Peace by the book.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
week. Continue VSiN by the books. Got a big power hour coming up here in hour number three. What goes up must come down with Stock Up and Stock Down. Going to have Adam Burke, our managing editor, join the program as well. Of course, our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds joins the program in our best bets. But a lot of business to get to on the diamond and maybe some ambushes you're looking for early on a Wednesday afternoon. That's where we kick it off today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Oh, I love it, Jensen. I was not a great hitter, as you might surmise. I hit 222, but made the All-Star team. They told me I needed to ambush more. And for people that don't know what ambushing is, Jensen, can you tell the people, hey, if you're going to throw that heater right off the box, I'm looking to jump it early, right? That's the whole part of an ambush. Look for a pitch. If you get it, we're swinging early.
First pitch, particularly. We call that ambush first pitch action. So, again, more so it's early in the day, early in the afternoon. Some guys that are notable so far out of the gates for their day game performances here in 2026. Let's start with two guys in Tampa Bay because that'll be a day game that we look at in earnest. The Rays getting pasted by the Reds. Yes, your Central Division leading Cincinnati Reds. But guys that have done well in their day game performances thus far. Yandy Diaz, a .383 average, a homer, and 8 runs driven in. Chandler Simpson, get to know the name, has been one of the dynamic offensive forces for this Rays offense and around the American League, a .340 average with a triple and 2 RBI. The Toronto Blue Jays, on the shoulders of our old friend Patrick Corbin, my old teammate, just continues to find a way to get her done in a beleaguered Blue Jay rotation. Blue Jays get a win yesterday. Vladdy Jr. has been great in the afternoons thus far. .366, couple of doubles, a homer, and 5 driven in. And Taylor Ward of the Baltimore Orioles, .333, 7 doubles, a homer, 9 RBI. We had an over, get home, no sweat yesterday for Baltimore and Kansas City. Dave, I think we go right back to the well there. Let's take the over 9. Minus $1.12 there at Kauffman Stadium. Conditions going to be pretty comfortable. 71 degrees, but winds blowing out to left center at 13 miles an hour. I think we get a little uptick in the runs there, so I'll take the flat 9 over in that Orioles and Royals series finale.
Yeah, and the way the Royals won last night to get rid of that 8-game losing skid, old Met Ryan Helsley comes on there and walk, wild pitch, and that gets it done. So you get that free run there, 6-5 yesterday, looking for more runs today. Free air conditioning for some of those guys that are going to take to the bump today. What did you find for some notable day games?
All right, so notable team pitching staff performances in day games thus far. I don't think it's going to be a shock to people. The Mariners, the best team ERA in day games so far at .235. The Guardians actually not too far behind them at .309. Both those clubs will play this afternoon. Mariners will host the Athletics. Guardians will host the Astros. Now, I bring up the Astros because they are the second worst team ERA in day games in Major League Baseball this year, the worst in the American League at .581. And I hate to bring up those Royals. Glad they got the win yesterday, Dave, because they have been downright dreadful in the afternoons. 3-9, the most day game losses in Major League Baseball. So I'll go back to the Mariners here. It's a really one-sided, in my feel, a really one-sided pitching matchup. It's going to be Aaron Civale for the Athletics against Logan Gilbert of the Mariners. I took an alternate over 7. I paid a little juice here, almost minus $1.50 at Hard Rock, but I like the over still in this game. Over 7 in the Athletics and the Mariners game. This is going to be a cooler game to this afternoon. 54 degrees at first pitch, but winds blowing straight out to left at 12 miles an hour. So we'll see if the Seattle offense can start to put it together in support of one of their aces in Logan Gilbert. But I do like an alternate over total today. So over 7, minus $1.49 on Hard Rock for the Athletics and the Mariners.
You know, I bet the A's the last two games in Seattle, we've cashed those tickets here. And I just like the way that their lineup, they're pesky. And they're not putting a lot of runs together here, Jensen, but it's solo shot here. And they just kind of beat you by 1,000 cuts. That over today, do you think the A's can uphold their end of the bargain, if you will, here against Gilbert? Because Seattle keeps rolling out these aces, and the A's just keep putting up enough runs to get these W's home.
I would go right to, if you want to play it conservatively, I think you can take the A's on the run line. Seeing the cheapest price right around, I think it's $1.35, $1.36.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be a conservative way, but I'm with you. Why not go back to the money line and see if this A's offense continues to create issues for the Mariners pitching staff. Now, again, that's with the caveat, Mariners best day game ERA so far. So you're kind of going strength on strength there, but I'm with you. I think the A's could be live at that point, but the +1.5, not afraid to recommend that to people as well.
Your team without a city, the A's, currently in first place in the AL West. Okay, we got to show this. And look, we get it. Fernando Mendoza is going to have the night of his life, we do believe, tomorrow. Remember, he's not going to be at the draft. He's staying home to be with his family. Well, home is down there in South Beach. Jensen, he threw out the first pitch for the Marlins yesterday. Let's take a look at it. I'm going to need your full evaluation. It is clearly a ball. It's high. It was loopy. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, we got to shuffle the feet. So we already have a balk on the first pitch. Disengagement from the rubber. I do appreciate the short arm action. And trust me, these are not the easiest things to do. And if you realize that, you know, with the arm action for a quarterback and then trying to throw a baseball, it can be a little jarring there. So I appreciate the footwork to make sure he didn't bounce it, because then that could have been an issue all of itself. But I used to tell people that were going out to do that, I said, your target needs to be the head of the player that you're throwing to there behind home plate. So that little box, kind of imagine the umpire's face mask is right there. That's your target. And don't be afraid, you know, kind of in golf, you want the lag on the putt, right? So you can put a little bit of an air under it. You don't need to throw the floater Henry Rowengartner style. But definitely don't try and air that thing out, because that's where people get the 55 footers. We don't need injuries from the backups that are trying to catch those first pitches. But as I said, first pick greater than first pitch. That's our headline for Fernando Mendoza. He will definitely be in a better spot tomorrow night when his name gets called first overall.
He's -20,000. So again, you got to put up 20 grand to win 100. To be the first overall
great
pick
parlay
tomorrow.
Piece
doesn't mean that's
great parlay piece.
Right. Now, do you think the Raiders are rethinking that position after looking at that first pitch? Going, oh no, what type of bill of goods are we getting? Hey, look, if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network, okay, and you see the little crow hop that he does that show you that maybe he had some baseball in his past? So it was like an old outfielder. Kind of crow hopping his way to get the ball off the rubber, or is this a guy that's just never towed the rubber before?
Oh, I'm sure there's some nerves. There had to be nerves out there amongst the 6,321 people there at Marlins Park. I think that's the one thing you worry about is he's so not used to, you know, being planted. Mm. He's used to kind of having that little bounce, the little nimbleness in the pocket there. So I that's the first thing I took away is he's just finding the quick slant over the middle. No big deal. I'm going to pop it. Yeah. I liked it. So in all seriousness though, congrats to him. Very excited for him and his family. And it was a debate for me on my second stock up guys that stay home for the draft. We have a special place here in Cleveland because Joe Thomas, arguably one of the greatest first rounders ever in Cleveland Browns history. He was out fishing. And he was like, hey, whenever my name's called, no big deal. And I appreciate him wanting to share that time. It is such a chaotic time as someone who, you know, got drafted twice, once out of high school, once out of college. There's nothing like being home with loved ones and being able to be in your element, because there is so much, Dave, that goes into that day. There's so many media responsibilities, especially as a top pick. There are so many different things you have to do. And I think that's the sweet spot, especially for a guy who really embodies not only the professionalism, but the charisma and the character. You're getting a great player, but you're getting what we believe is an even better person. I'm just waiting now, Dave, that we have Kirk Cousins there in Las Vegas. Are we going to get a Coles ad, you know, for both of those guys, you know, getting in the same draft? Are they going to come in at the same outfits, you know, to camp and all that? Either way, what a night it's going to be for Vegas and for Fernando Mendoza.
I mean, look, I loved my time in Sin City. I do not expect to see Mendoza and Cousins maybe at some of the haunts that you could have seen others at. Let's just leave it at that out there in Las Vegas with these two. That's going to be a very interesting watch. We got a big hour number three. We're going to have Adam Burke, our managing editor, join the program as well, get his baseball picks that he likes. We're going to have our Wednesdays with West breaking down the Zurich Open, the classic going on down there in New Orleans this week. So it's a team event there in the PGA Tour and a lot more NFL and, of course, baseball, hockey, and basketball talk. It's all next right here on Visa by the Books.